Well, a very long gospel this morning. And I think the longer they are, the more points they have to share with you. But one of the things that really sticks out to me are the two sentences. Then Jesus summoned his 12 disciples and gave them authority over unclean spirits to cast them out and to cure every disease and every sickness. And these are the names of the 12 apostles. Did you catch the difference? The men who follow Jesus were disciples, and now Mark marks them as apostles. Matthew marks them as apostles. So there's something different there. What's going on? What's the big deal? Is there a difference between the word apostle and disciple? Are they the same? Can you use those words interchangeably? Apostle and a disciple? Well, Jesus had changed his mind. And so we will get through that in a moment. But one thing that sticks out to me as this at this time of year, particularly end of May and early June, there are many teens and young adults, and some not so young, like ourselves, who are making the same kind of transition from disciple to apostle. We can see that the newspapers, there are reports of commencement activities and lists of graduates. We see pictures of the students kept tossing the graduation caps into the air to celebrate the change from being a student to becoming a graduate. Initially, they're all still in training, learning how to do this and how to do that. They've learned about rules and structures and formulas and logarithms. And then graduation day arrives. Diplomas are distributed. Tassels are moved from one side of the cap to the other side. Lots of pictures with mom and dad and grandma and grandpa. And then suddenly, these teenagers and young adults become someone else. They are no longer students, they are graduates. They are ready to go on into the world to practice what they have been learning for the last several years. The graduates are no longer learners. They are no longer disciples. They are now, in effect, apostles. People who are being sent out into the world to do what they have been discipled to do. This is what an apostle is. Someone who is sent out. Our gospel message today, in it, Matthew marks the exact moment when the followers of Jesus graduated. Somehow, Jesus had decided that they had learned enough. The disciples were formed, they were changed, and now they are ready to go out to share the mission and ministry of Jesus. The disciples did not take a specified group of courses. They did not gain credit hours. They didn't take state exams and write final term papers. For being a disciple isn't usually marked or measured in that way. Jesus had decided that he had taught them everything that he could, at least for them. He knew that the world needed their ministry. The chapters ahead of our reading today, in those, Jesus had been traveling around, teaching and healing. The crowds of people came to listen to Jesus, and those crowds continue to grow and grow. The message about Jesus was spreading. He saw their pain. Jesus saw their troubles. Matthew describes it as harassed and helpless, like a sheep without a shepherd. Jesus looks upon them, and he can see the needs of the people. He sees that this need is greater than what alone he can provide. He knows that it's time to add helpers, to send out laborers into the Lord's harvest. So what does Jesus do? He calls his closest followers, those who have been with him the longest time, those who he has observed closely, and he passes on to them some of his power. The power to overcome evil and the power to heal and reconcile. Power that was granted to him by the Heavenly Father, the one holy living God. So it was here at this moment that he sent them out. He apostled them. His instructions were, as you go, proclaim the good news. The kingdom of heaven has come near. Cure the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, cast out demons. Proclaim the good news. The kingdom of God has come near. It is not you who speak, but the Spirit of your Father speaking through you. They went out and they did the work in Jesus' name. This is how the disciples became apostles. Perfect? They were not perfect. We can see in the Gospels and in the book of Acts repeatedly that they often missed the mark, they dropped the ball, they fumbled, they stepped over their own 2 feet, they didn't understand the parables, they did not know what Jesus meant when he predicted his own death, they deserted him, they were not there when he was crucified, they did not recognize the risen Christ. They did not know what to do when he ascended to heaven, and one of them sold him out for pieces of silver. Despite these things, the church around the world today continues to witness the good news of God in Christ. One writer says the sun never sets on Christian hope, that they proclaim the good news even in the darkest hour and to the ocean depths of the love of God. All because these disciples, imperfect as they were, answered the challenge of Jesus to be sent out to share that good news. The kingdom of God has come near. Our baptismal promises include the promise, I will, with God's help, proclaim by word and example the good news of God in Christ. Guess what? That makes all of us apostles. You know, we might have thought that the word or title apostle only belonged to those first 12 followers of Jesus. Rarely do we ever speak about ourselves as apostles. However, we made those baptismal vows. We have taken vows to be an apostle. And I bet many of you have only thought of yourself as a disciple. Try saying to yourself, I am an apostle. Say that to yourself. I, Nancy Bryson, I am an apostle. Sometimes we treat our church life as if it is an end unto itself. We are happy to gather together for worship, for fellowship, for meetings and fundraisers. We are comfortable in our church surroundings. One author writes that we feel safe gathering around the Lord, shutting out the world. But to be an apostle is to risk, to venture, to step outside our close supportive community into a world of people caught in suffering and in fear. It takes courage to be an apostle. Jesus' followers, though, were not that much different than you and me. They were not eager to go out there. They were not eager to get out of their comfort zone, away from their friends and companions, because where they needed to be was wise as serpents and innocent as doves. Jesus saw the world. He saw that the world was wounded. He saw the world was grieving. He knew that suffering because he felt that in his own heart. So he decided to send out this group of 12, these first apostles, to bear the power of God in the struggle of evil and to heal the sick, and to bring reconciliation of love. He sends us out to do the same. This is what our presiding bishop, Michael Curry, called the Jesus Movement. Like the first apostles, we will not be perfect. We will make mistakes, and we will miss opportunities. We might even betray our Lord. But our Lord and our God forgives us endlessly, absolutely endlessly. He keeps sending us back out into the world in his name. Those first apostles turned the world upside down in the power of God, and we can do that too. My dear brothers and sisters, our mission, if we choose to accept it, is to go out from our church into the world that we live in. We need to name the evil. We need to name the injustice and work to change it. We need to change the bad things in our world, the fear, the racism, people against people, hopelessness, despair, poverty, pain, and heal it. We need to say to the world that the kingdom of God has come near. Do not worry about how it's going to happen, because the words and the ways will come to you, because the Spirit of God is moving through you. As one priest aptly put it, mission impossible will become mission possible in the power of God. So as the old TV show goes, so how do you choose to accept your mission? Amen.